Today's scripture reading is found in the book of Judges, and we'll be reading three small portions from the chapter from chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, starting with verses 4 to 6, and then 15 to 22, and 27 to 30. Verse 4. Sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength, and how we can overpower him, so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength, and how you can be tied up and subdued." Verse 15. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. So he told her everything. "No razor has ever been used on my head," he said, "because I have been a Nazarite set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back once more. He has told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. Having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Verse 27. Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "O sovereign Lord, remember me, O God. Please strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my 2 eyes." Then Samson reached toward the 2 center pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come to your house, to worship you, and also to hear your Holy Spirit speaking to us through your word and through your servant. Father, I pray that we wouldn't just be hearers of your word this morning, but that we would take this message and apply it in our lives and also be doers. And we just ask for your blessing on the pastor this morning as he brings your message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. There are many tragic events and statements recorded in the Bible, but there is hardly a word, a statement in the Bible as tragic as the words recorded in the book of Judges about Samson. Verse 20 says, "But he did not know that the Lord had left him." Is there anything more pitiful and tragic than a person who does not know his or her own spiritual poverty? Well, I suppose what may be worse is when a person does not want or even care to know anything about his or her spiritual condition. And there are many today that they would rather not discuss their spirituality, not talk about their spirituality, not hear any comments about spirituality or holiness, because it is safer not to know than to know and become worried or responsible for the lack of spirituality in your life. But sooner or later, the person without God will find out how tragic it is to be without God, or rather be separated from God. Samson found out soon enough. Samson told Delilah the secret of his Nazarite vow never to cut his hair. He actually told her that he was set apart to God since birth. He was a dedicated vessel to God, and that God was with him as long as he was faithful to him. His long hair was not the source of his power, but was the outward indication of his being a Nazarite. His separation to God. He was separated for God. Actually, it was his relationship to God that made him strong, not his hair. But if his hair were cut off, he would be powerless. He knew that. Actually, it was his relationship to God, not any other powers. Delilah finally knew that she had his secret. Delilah, using her charm, put Samson to sleep on her lap and then called Samson's enemies to shave off his hair. The charm of Delilah was too strong for Samson's heart. And what 1,000 strong men failed to do, one woman's charm and influence was able to achieve. When I was going through my notes, I remembered long time ago my wife and I, that must have been very long time ago, we were watching television. It was Ed Sullivan, I believe, that he had invited some Welsh singer, Tom Jones, to come and sing. And he started singing Delilah. And I saw the passion on his face and singing, why Delilah? He was, so every time I read the story of Delilah and Samson, I remember Tom John shouting, why Delilah? Well, he put a lot of passion in there, and I'm sure Samson also probably shouted many times, why Delilah? But actually, he shouldn't have blamed Delilah, he should have blamed himself. Samson had a rude awakening. With his hair cut off, he had no strength. He tried to overcome the Philistines in vain. It was too late. Samson did not know that the Lord had left him. And this morning we were discussing this in our adult class, that unless God is in us and unless we have surrendered our will to God, we cannot fight the good fight. No matter how hard I try, I will not succeed. No matter how hard I try to love my next door neighbor and my classmate or whoever is giving me tough time, I won't be able to. Unless God is present in my daily life and unless He is controlling my will. And Samson is a good example of what happens when God, the Bible warns us about the Holy Spirit, when we turn our back to the Holy Spirit many times. The Holy Spirit that cannot live together. He cannot. Our heart has no room for two. It's only built for one, either evil or God. The Philistines put out Samson's eyes and imprisoned him in Gaza, where he was forced to grind grain. Someone once described this triple humiliation as the binding, blinding, grinding bondage of sin. The blinding, binding bondage of sin is the title of this message this morning. Sin makes us, humiliates us, brings us down. He binds everything we have and brings us under his control. Samson, who had killed 1,000 men with a donkey's jawbone, who had become a terror to the Philistines, and who was supposed to be filled with the power of God, was now humiliated, degraded, and had become a slave of pagans who rejoiced that their god Dagon had given them the victory. What had happened to Samson? What had happened to Samson, you may ask? Do we really need to know? You may ask, why are you talking to us about Samson? Yes, we really need to know what happened to Samson if we want to prevent our lives from ending in waste, failure, and shame. What is important for us to remember is that Samson had made a commitment to God. He had dedicated his life to him. But then he started compromising. First, he became a slave to his passions. And that led him away from God and into slavery. He became a blind, pitiful slave to the Philistines. First, he lost his hair. Then his strength. Then his light. Then his liberty. Then his usefulness to God, and then his life. All flirting with life, with sin, takes away our life. Flirting and compromising with the world. You may say, what do you want us to become? Monks? Or become fanatics? Spiritual fanatics? Or what? Well, not really, because God gives us a life that is full of excitement and full of enjoyment. The misunderstanding today is that when you become a devoted Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, and you start saying things that are pleasing to God, but not necessarily pleasing to the ears of your friends, they may think you've lost it. But actually, the people who reject God, and the people who turn their back to God, and the people who compromise in their life, and the people who allow sin to come in their lives and in their families and in the church, they are the ones that have lost it. They lose not their integrity only, not only their joy, but also their life often. I've heard people say that Samson was an example of heroism and self-sacrifice. Some even would look at him as a type of Christ. But nothing can be further from the truth. Samson is an example of how not to serve God. He could have been a great judge of Israel. He could have demonstrated not only physical superiority over the Philistines, but spiritual and moral superiority. He could have been a spiritual giant. He could have been an example of life unstained by lust and sin. Of power, the lust of the flesh and the pull of the world destroyed him. He was brought up in a godly home where his parents feared God. In Judges 13:24-25, we read, "The Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to steer him." But what happened then? He became enslaved to his own selfish desires. He became bored of the country life in the tribe of Dan. So he went down to Timnah, and there the things of the world attracted him. He married a Philistine girl against his parents' advice. And from then on, the story of Samson is a shameful life of wine, man, and sin. A victim of his passions, he wasted his strength and eventually became a slave. The story of Samson is very similar to the story of another young man who wasted his life. That young man came to his father, demanded his inheritance, and we see this in Luke 15. He said to his father, "Give me." That was the first step. And he went to a far country, and there he wasted whatever he had in immoral living. And when everything he had was gone, he remembered his life at home before he had turned his back to God and his parents. There comes a time always when the last drop of pleasure has been squeezed out of sin. There comes a moment when the thrill of pleasure has passed and shame, regret, sorrow, and guilt fills the heart of the sinner. The prodigal son changed from a privileged, wealthy young man to a humiliated, hungry beggar begging for some food and a place to stay, and ended up serving and feeding pigs. That is until he came to himself and went back home. That is, of course, the difference between the prodigal son and Samson. The prodigal son could have forgotten his father. He could have forgotten all the luxury life he was living. He could have turned his back completely and said, "Well, I walked away from God, from my father. I am now living with the pigs. I'm going to die with the pigs." And he would have died with the pigs, even though his father was waiting there for him. But he did not do that. He humbled himself and he went back to his father. Samson never came to himself. Samson eventually destroyed himself and his enemies in revenge. His final prayer was only that his own passions might be revenged. And it wasn't a prayer of repentance, a prayer of asking for forgiveness to God, and a prayer of making peace with God and his enemies. He prayed, "O Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just one more time, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." His prayer was one of selfishness rather than repentance. Samson hated his enemies, and he let his hatred consume both him and them in revenge. But how much happier is the ending of the story of the prodigal son? That young man came home, he repented, he decided that he would come back to his father on any possible terms. And what a wonderful reception he received. Before even he reached home, his father, who apparently was waiting for his son, he saw his son while he was yet in the distance and had compassion and ran and kissed him. His father did not say, "Oh man, you stink like a pig." He could have said, because he did smell probably like a pig. Or he could have said, "Before you come even close to me, let me make one thing clear. Now you're coming back, that's fine, but you will be on my own terms. You'll say as I do say." And he didn't say any of that. He had already forgiven him. He hugged him and kissed him and restored him as his son. This is a picture of God's love for us all. Even though we may have wasted our lives and inheritance and have become slaves to our selfish desires, God sees us coming home and has compassion on us and comes to meet us where we are. Why does he do this? It is because he loves us. And you may say this morning, "You don't know, I used to be a drug addict. I used to be, I ruined my family. I divorced my wife. I rejected my children. I even committed a crime that no one knows." or I've wasted my life and everybody else has suffered around me. How can God ever forgive me? But the example of the prodigal son is the best example we have. He had taken away the father's money. He had taken his purity, and he had taken himself into wasteful living and immorality, and finally he ended up with the pigs. But when he came back, the father was ready, and no questions asked, to receive him and forgive him. This surely was the most tragic thing about the story of Samson. But also we have the wonderful ending of the prodigal son. Samson never knew how poor he was. He did not know that the Lord had left him until it was too late to defend himself, and then he died a tragic death. The real tragedy of life is to be blind to your own spiritual needs. This can happen to a church also. In Revelation, in the book of Revelation, Jesus says to the church in Laodicea, "You say, I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." Do you know what can be more dangerous than being lost? Well, not knowing that you are lost and have a false sense of security. There are a lot of people today who will be going to church. They will be very active. They will be, there are ministers and priests and elders and deacons busy doing everything but actually doing nothing. Because they do all that to satisfy their own selfish needs and their pride. And I believe that the time has come for the church to look inside, in their hearts. Every leader, every spiritual teacher, everyone in the church should make sure that he is reflecting Christ. This morning in the adult class and yesterday in the men's fellowship, we talked to the teenagers we have in our church. And we have few teenagers that faithfully come to church and they ask questions, they make comments. And one of the young boys, when asked yesterday, "What would you like to see in us or in the church? Or among men, or what kind of men would you like to see in the church?" One of the comments was, "What we would like to see is leadership. And leadership is something that we are lacking in the churches today. Spiritual leadership, not go do this and sing better and stand there and close the door and open the door and the Constitution says this and the Constitution says that. All that is not leadership. That's that is churchianity, playing churchianity. That's playing religion. That's playing denominational, games. What the young people want to see and what every new believer and every believer needs to see is leadership. It needs to see people, men and women, who live their faith, who reflect Christ in their daily life, not selfishness, the Bible says that do not lord over the believers. And I believe that when we humble ourselves like the prodigal son and come back to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, He is more than ready to forgive everything and anything, no matter what you and I have done. God is ready to forgive us. But on the other hand, there are Christians like Samson who have been given powers from God, and these people have abused these powers or have betrayed that trust that God put in them. And they use these powers or abuse these powers. And for those who have done that, there is the reward is loneliness, separation, and even death. I believe that we must all, as Christians, look at our call, that Jesus called us and said, come and follow me. Samson was given a call also from childhood, and he was given the powers, and he was given the strength, but he compromised. He went, when you read the story of Samson, you'll see that he lived an immoral life before he got married. And for all that, he paid a very high price. On the other hand, you may say, but the prodigal son lived an immoral life. But for that, he repented and came back. Let us just bow our heads and ask God to forgive us and restore us. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being always there to forgive us and to restore us. Father in heaven, we all have sinned and have come short of your glory. But because of your blood and through your blood, we have been justified and we have been given an eternal a promise of eternal life. And Lord, we thank you for the assurance of our salvation. But also we are reminded by these two stories in the Bible that we must also live holy lives and reflect you. And not only, Lord, claim or proclaim, not only talk our faith, but walk it. Please strengthen each one of us and help us to obey your will and remain in your will. In your blessed name I pray, amen.